Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, May 29th, 2012, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. This evening, we're pleased to have David and Celeste with us, who have both had walk-in experiences coming as emissaries from Arcturus and the Pleiades. Celeste Bluestar and David of Arcturus have chronicled many transmissions from both Pleiadians and Arcturans to help mankind into the Golden Age and published those messages in several books, such as the God Book series, Beyond the Journey, and many transmissions from highly advanced and evolved beings, which they call Master Messages. Their websites are bluestarspeaks.com and Awakened Hearts, that's AWAKENED, AwakenedHearts.com, where you can find all their books and messages. We want to thank Sahar for hosting the switchboard this evening, and for those with questions or comments tonight, the call-in number is 917-889-8292. Remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, please remember to click follow on our show page and then tell a friend about us. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation, and we also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning, that's ning.com. Plus, we're on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. We'll get started with David and Celeste in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings in your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone consultation available with Lavendar, Arielle, or Anastasia. We now offer a Stage 4 support service with Sierra for readings, especially with contactees and abductees, so check out Sierra's World on our main site. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening. How are you all doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Just fine. No storms here.
Well, Lavendar here, and we've got a storm approaching, so I don't know how long I'm going to be able to be on the air.
Well, yeah, just have that phone line hold tight.
Okay. Well, is Celeste and David, are they on yet?
Yes, they are with us, waiting on the switchboard. So let's just go ahead and introduce David and Celeste.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Hello, David and Celeste, you're on the air.
Hello.
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 Thank you for having us on.
Well, it's our pleasure. Lavendar, I think you were...
I have the questions here.
Okay.
So, Celeste and David, let me start with you, Celeste. If you would just give us a little background about how you came to know that you were a walk-in. And I noticed that when I did your charts that you have so many alignments to the Pleiades, and so does David. So why don't you start, Celeste, by talking about your experience of being a Pleiadian walk-in.
Okay. The basic way that I can explain this is that when I walked in, I actually walked in from the Atlantic Ocean in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And although my predecessor went in with brown hair, I came out of the water platinum blonde, which was very startling to the group of people that were around me at the time. And I knew immediately, I felt a little bit disorganized physically, I was having a problem because something kept trying to pull my right thigh and pull me out to sea. And as I looked down, it had long, long fingernails and actually left a mark on my right thigh for about 3 weeks. Well, once I got onto dry land, I just took my time, looked around, and I must tell you, everything looked strange to me, absolutely strange. It took me months to learn how to literally walk in a physical vehicle. It's just not the same as at home. And did I know? Yes. I knew my name as soon as I arrived. And I had to look around and remember where I landed. And at that point, everybody was coming in. My father, Blue Star, the Palladian, many other evolved Palladian sources, but also those from Andromeda, Arcturus, they were just all around me. And we continued to just hover together for a year. I did not really go out in public very much, which was rather strange, I suppose. But I was busy going through closets and looking at the clothes that had been hanging there and throwing everything out. They were the dullest clothes I'd ever seen in my life. And it just wasn't who I was. So I read a lot. I did not watch television. I still don't. And just focused on me, on what I was doing here, remembering the things I was supposed to remember. And little by little, it does not happen all at one time. Those ancient memories surface. And when they do, there is no turning back. Of course, it also meant I had to sever ties with the people that would have known me if it hadn't been for the predecessor. And it meant severing ties, and I relocated. In fact, I've moved all over this country. Oh, let's see, I think it's 23 times now.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, who was taking care of you during this time?
Who, you mean physical, human?
Yeah, I mean, was someone kind of a caretaker for you, making sure you were okay in the physical?
No, it was just me and me.
Wow. That must have been a little difficult. Wow. So go ahead.
Yeah, actually, it really, really was difficult because not that I've ever tried to fit in because I couldn't fit in anywhere, I don't think, if I even tried. There's something about me, and I can't tell you what it is because I see myself differently than others see me. But even then, when that all happened with this particular walk-in experience, people just do not know what to make of me. And interesting enough, women have always seemed to be the most timid around me. And men, well, put it this way, I was introduced to a Catholic priest about 6 months after that period of isolation. He just happened to be at somebody's house that I had met, and he took one look at me, and I swear to you, this is a true story. And in front of me, he blessed himself and turned around and walked away.
Wow. What do you think happened to him?
Well, I think I gave him the shock of his life, and to this day, I doubt if that man has any idea why. Whatever he saw about my presence just hit some kind of a deep vein in him, and this was a Roman Catholic priest, that I don't think he ever really recovered from it. I asked the woman later about it, and she said he wouldn't talk about it. She just said, I have to go now. And he left her house.
Yeah, wow. So when you came in, Were you aware that you had a high electromagnetic field? How was technology around you? Television sets and computers and those kind of things.
Oh, it was terrible. Oh my God, it was so bad. I couldn't walk through a parking lot without every car in the lot. There are those little robbery things people have on their cars. They were going off. Horns would start blowing. Lights on the cars would flash. And not a single person was in them.
How about when you were in hotels? Would fire alarms go off?
Oh, yes. Fire alarms. The worst one was when we were all told to evacuate because some alarm went off that signaled a bomb threat in the hotel. And that happened back on the East Coast. And, of course, everybody had to be evacuated. And I'm standing out there thinking, I didn't do this. I didn't do this. I didn't do this.
And the whole time you know you did.
I know, but you know what would be like if I went and said that to anyone?
Oh, I understand. Oh, totally. Oh, totally. There was a time when I couldn't go into Radio Shack at all. So I know. I completely understand that. Well, tell us a little bit about when did you decide to start writing and receiving transmissions?
Okay. A year after I arrived, let's see, in 91, I was told very clearly that now was the time, and I knew those key words anyway, and it was now is the time to sit down, and Father visited me, and he said, okay, I want you to start taking my transmissions. It won't only be mine. There are going to be many others that will be in contact with you, but first I want you to build a website. And I thought, oh, great, computers, this ought to be good. And make it the Blue Star Speaks website. And I started writing, putting everything down, started making notes for future books of things he wanted to speak about. And then within 6 months of that, everything else just seemed to break open. A lot of the information I was given from many other sources, though, were... they were meant to be kept quiet, kept secret, until I was told that a gridline intersection had arrived when it was necessary that for information to be made public. So I've done a lot of writing.
Were you still in Virginia Beach at this time?
No. Oh, no. I was moved from the East Coast and then up and down the East Coast, and then Midwest, and then to the southern Florida, and then up to and in Montana, and you name a state. It's so bad, it was name a state. I've been on all coasts. I've been in the middle of the country. And I've always told, okay, it's time, you have to move now. Now is the time, let's do it, get ready, and go. In one state that I was living in, I had been warned, it's on the West Coast, I won't say what state, but I had been warned that I would be given a signal on when I had to leave there, and the moment that I was given that warning, to get out and get out now to do so. And no more than 3 months later, I was told, get out now. And they set me on, I arrived on August 26th. In Arizona. I mean, this has just been my life. I've been in all these different states. And I will say it takes a lot of energy, physical energy to do that, because I am not a loner. I love people dearly. But at the same time, I simply have to use a great deal of discernment on who I am interacting with for my own safety, as far as for other reasons, but that's a primary one right there.
Well, don't you think also that the way you're put together now, that you're a sending and receiving station, and that you had to be maybe in those places for a stabilizing effect for the area, or possibly the activation of other star seeds in your surroundings?
Yes, I will agree with all of that. And I can also tell you that I was to leave my, quote, indelible fingerprint in every area that I was sent to, because that was co-joining with many other indelible fingerprints, all as a method to breathe life in the form of light into all those areas and still act as a type of marker, a marker that would, in a superconscious fashion, literally call out to others who were starseeds, walking, or just Earth Star children themselves. And they would all receive the benefit of it, but it would also activate a part of their DNA that they were unaware needed to be activated.
Yeah, right. Did you ever notice the places where you were at during the times of Pleiadian lineup, which is around May 15th to the 20th or November 15th to the 20th? Do you happen to recall maybe some of the places you were during the time of Pleiadian lineup when the Pleiadian ships would come in and be here for those 3 days?
Oh, yes. In fact, I can even tell you, I know the various states I was in during those times, and I was always involved in some type of a project that was so very important that had to somehow be amplified. Those are very important dates. And here's some irony. As you're speaking about it and asking me, my feet are vibrating.
Okay. Well, you know, the physical body that you were born into was born on May 18th, which is, you know, 26 Taurus, which is the high mark of the Pleiades. So we talked about that the other day, yes.
Right. But yes, it is important. I think everybody should be aware that even if they may not know who they are on a conscious level, that should never, ever keep them from still trying to be all that they can be. Because we're all here for a very important reason. It's not only to help one another and offer support to one another spiritually, but to do something right for this planet where so much has been done that's wrong.
Let me ask you, Celeste, do you leave your body at night and go aboard ship and then come back to human form? We call it human by day, ET by night.
Every night, or even in the afternoon, one or both of us may, we call it woozy. There's this sudden rush of a feeling that's like sudden sleep need, but it has nothing to do with sleep. And we have to lie down, and the next thing, we're gone, we're aboard ship, and we never know when we're coming back, just that we will.
Right. Well, this is interesting time that we're all going through right now, because the DNA has been really activated in so many star seeds. And of course, I told you and David the other day, I feel like that the Pleiadians really have the play on the planet. Everybody gets their turn, and they seem to have more bloodline DNA experiments going on the planet than anyone else. And I feel like that we're all coming to terms with who we are and why we're here. So tell me a little bit about how you met David.
Oh, you just love this. I guess we could call it part of a space odyssey in its own right. I had seen David, probably 2 to 2.5 years before I met him physically. And we were both living in Washington State at the time, and I had seen him, and I kept looking, and he kept coming closer, and he still had the same face he had the last few times that I had known him. And I waited and waited, and I'm thinking, okay, now what's going on? And then the last time I saw him before I met him physically again, he was wearing a T-shirt with a huge rainbow trout on it. I swear this is true. 2 weeks later, it was 2 weeks later, I went to Trout Lake, Washington, where I was speaking at James Gillian's. And who walks up, and I turn around and look, but there's David, and he's wearing the rainbow trout shirt.
We love James. Oh, gosh, that's a great story. So what did he say to you?
He smiled, and somehow we just kept in touch, and we talk on the phone all the time when the conference was over at James's, and we email, and he had asked me, and he had a session with me that was so cute, and one of the during the session, he asked me where he would be living. And I told him that I had seen him surrounded where in mountains and a mesa. And he didn't say much, but he went back to his home, and I went on to where I was living. And a few months later, I called him, and I said, David, I know where you're moving. You're moving to Arizona. And within 3 months, we moved there together.
Oh, my goodness. And what year was that?
We arrived there on August 26th. Is that 26? 2003.
Okay. Wow. So then the two of you started having transmissions together, and the two of you started writing. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, we did. And I was told to create the Palladium Flagship Star Crystal, and I was shown the diagram for it. So David and I worked together and created that, which is an amazing energy polarizer, and the Transfiguration Accelerator, and so many other things, including, of course, the True Atlantean Wands. We just worked on everything together so that even after we married, after we arrived in Arizona, we still kept on, and it's never stopped. We just keep getting bigger and bigger projects.
Well, tell me about the Accelerate. Tell me about, are these actual technologies in physical form that you're talking about?
They are. What I was shown was something to teach people how to build for themselves the physical properties, exactly what they can do to help people, and allow people to build them and let people know what to expect, and the rest was up to the people, and that's exactly what happened. They
and so what did they do exactly? I mean, is this about protection or enlightenment or if you're sick, does it make you well? Explain a little bit about how they work.
The Palladium Flagship Star Crystal is an energy polarizer.
Okay.
And it has a way they spin. And I've known people, and so has David, who have them after they learned about them from us. And they'll catch them spinning out of the corner of their eye. And when they hurry up and turn their head, they'll stop. They literally polarize the energy. You can feel it is an amazing, amazing creation that was simple enough to do to give people. It helps to protect them, yes. But from my point of view, the greatest gift is the polarizing effect that it has. The TA, which is the Transfiguration Accelerator, it's built into a pyramid shape, and people can sit in it. They can have them in their house, on their patio, or we've arranged it, made it so that they can take them apart and travel to the beach, which a lot of people like to do that, and then set it up. And it literally accelerates. If you can watch it sending beams of energy all through the parts of it, up into the sky, and we noticed that a lot of the chemtrails would disappear when we had Artaw outside.
So do you make these and sell them on your website?
We did. Now we just put them all in book form, and people just can buy the book and follow the diagram. We took painstaking work to get the details in the book so that it's affordable for everybody.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, it has to be something that everybody can afford, or else we would be doing something wrong, and we just don't do that. So we decided to make it as easy as possible for people.
Okay. Okay. So you have, what, 9 books in publication right now?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the God Book series, Beyond the Journey and Life in the Hereafter.
Oh, that series started actually when God told me, he just came in one day and said, I want you to write my books. And I said, okay. I think I should have said, why me? But I never did get to that part. So I asked him if David could also work with us and take messages from God, and he said, of course he can. So we sat down, and God started out with volume one, and then God said, then I said, then he said. And we invited Susie Ward, mother of Matthew, to be a contributing writer for volume one. And next thing we do, when volume one was finished, God waited a few days, and he said, oh, Celeste, there are going to be 8 books in this series. And I remember thinking, but you only said one, and he didn't answer, so who am I to argue with him, you know? So, well, I could. But the next thing we know, bang, 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 he gives us the titles of the book. We knew all the titles of the books after the first book was written. And all the chapters, he didn't tell us any of the details about what he was going to say. He never does. He'll just say, okay, it's time to sit down. I'm ready to write. You and David, sit there. So I'll be working on one computer on, say, chapter one, while David's working on his laptop on chapter one. But we're both receiving information from God at the same moment. That's completely different, but is all about chapter one. And this is how the whole series has gone. The latest book, though, Beyond the Journey, Life in the Hereafter, I agree with God, and I'm sure David will say the same thing, but it is the most important book that anybody will ever read. Everybody wants to know about life after death, instead of wanting to know about life after life, because it's really about the continuous series of lives that each person has. He talks about nirvana. He goes into the most detailed explanation, and it's nothing anybody's ever heard about or read about in any book on this planet. We feel so honored to be able to do this work with him and still continue on with all the others that we work with. In many ways, it's a juggling act because we'll just get one project done or think it's done, and then suddenly it may be the Masters, it may be Master Kato or someone else or Commander Theta will suddenly appear and say, okay, now we have to talk. We need the public to be made aware of such and such. And when that happens, God will usually say, take a couple weeks down and relax a little bit, and then we'll start the next book. And that's just the way this has always been.
Oh, goodness. I'd like to bring David on now and let him talk for a little bit, and then I'd like for the two of you to have an interaction toward the end. So, David? Come on and say hello to us and our audience.
Well, hello, and thank you again for having us on.
Well, it's our pleasure. Please give us a brief description about when you came as an Acturian walk-in.
My situation was quite a bit different than Celeste. I, like many walk-ins, came in at a very young age. I actually walked into a body that was 6 years old. This young boy had fallen into a swimming pool. And when I came in, I woke up at the bottom of the swimming pool. Of course, I didn't come in with, you know, what people call total recall. So that my life up until the time that Celeste and I met again was what people would consider normal. I was here to experience the human experience, to see exactly how things were, how people dealt with things or how they didn't deal with things. And so up until Celeste was speaking up at Trout Lake at the James Gillian, at that point when I met her, I went to the conference to further feed my conspiracy theory. And once I got there, then I realized that I was there for everything but that. And from that moment on, for the next year, everything was at an extremely high pace. It was an accelerated course for me. I started remembering. I started learning. I don't remember. I'm only allowed to remember so much right now because I'm supposed to deal with things on a practical level while still being able to walk with one foot in both worlds.
I understand that completely.
Sure. Celeste and I, I used to say that we lived a lifetime every month, and now I can honestly say we live a lifetime every day. From the moment we wake up until the time we go to bed, and then when we go to bed, we go to bed to have more fun. And people have no idea once they start to awake how fun life is here. We have no time to stop and breathe, but we have fun every moment of every day, and we're very fortunate because we're one of the few people, the few couples that I've ever met in my entire life since I've been here that could actually spend every moment of every day together and still feel that it is not enough.
Wow, that's saying a whole lot. Wow.
Yeah.
That's an attribute to both of you.
It is unusual.
Wow. So when the two of you moved to Sedona, is that where you went first?
No,
you said you went to Arizona.
Yes, we left Washington State and we ended up in a little town outside of Phoenix. We were in Washington State for about two and a half months, and we were preparing because we knew we were going to be leaving pretty soon. As family kept saying to us, they were holding the rope bareback for us. And then at one moment, we woke up that morning on, I believe it was the 24th of August. We woke up that morning, we were told to get out and get out now. And so we left Washington State, went to Arizona, where we had a conference that was going to be going on the 29th or so.
29th.
And so we were in our motorhome, and we lived in our motorhome for a number of months until we found the right house for us, which, of course, we ended up on Rainbow Drive. So everything's pretty well laid out for us. We never know exactly where we're going from point to point, but we generally get heads up on where we're going to be. We'll have dreams. They'll give us little clues in those, but they never tell us the whole picture. The entire universe speaks in God code, and what that means is people need to learn to read in between the lines. They will always give you the truth, but they will give it to you in portions, and you have to learn to read between the lines and put two and two together. In other words, they aren't going to do all the work for you. So many people we come in contact with believe that they keep asking us, well, tell us this, tell us that. Well, we're not going to do their homework for them. We will give them directions, we'll give them guidance, and I still believe the best way to teach people is to actually ask them questions and make them think for it.
Yeah, and don't you think that free will is so important with navigating the soul?
Oh, absolutely. Free will, a lot of people call it free expression. You can will things or you can express things. So I guess it depends on how you look at it. I prefer expression myself.
That's good.
Yes,
free expression. Right. So I'm looking at some of the questions that you sent me. Why do you think that millions of starseeds are awakening just this year?
Well, it's time. Over the last 10 years, many people have been awakening. But this year is critical. This is the timeline where the Illuminati originally had plans for Earth's total, you know, for them to be pretty well taken care of over the planet. And then, of course, Terra, the planet Earth, decided that she wanted to survive, and things shifted around. It is time. They're needed this year. This is the make or break point for many, many souls on this planet. People are either going to own up to their own personal responsibility and start taking proactive measures to better their lives, to change their belief systems, to become, I like to call it to live up to their name. In other words, many people live down to their name. They don't honor themselves as much as they should, and they don't realize that they themselves are the ones they've been waiting for.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So what's going on with the Earth changes and the planetary realignment?
How long is your program?
give us the short version.
There are many, many star keepers from many, many civilizations, from many universes. Unfortunately, so many people still believe there's only one universe, but there are many universes, many gods and goddesses, and there are people here on the planet, there are people over the planet, and they're all here right now looking at the planet, looking at the people themselves, and in my personal opinion, I believe that they are trying to figure out what areas can be saved, what areas are going to need to be modified, what needs to be fixed to get this done. There's so much. Between the Earth changes, we spent some time reading your website today, and we were in perfect alignment with everything that you were saying. But the changes in the magnetics on the planet, the force of the sun with the realignment of the planet, the magnetics from the sun are altering everything here, and obviously causing some droughts in some areas. Floods in other areas, but a major concern, obviously, is every living life form on the planet, from the oceans to the land to the plants to the animals. Everything on this planet is suffering right now. It is it's a sad situation, but it's something that can be fixed. But unfortunately, it's not going to happen by the end of this year, like a lot of people erroneously believe. It's going to take a little longer, but it's worth the effort.
Right.
Most of us have been here many, many, many times, and we're willing. Well, I'm speaking for myself. I'm willing to come back as many times as I'm needed.
Let's talk a little bit about that Mayan calendar and what some people think is the marking of the end of the world. Can you give us your perspective on what you think is really going to take place during this December 20th, 2012 event?
Well, that was interesting when we were reading about the Palladian lineup there with the months and everything. Isn't there a Grand Cardinal Cross during that month?
Yes, there is.
Yes. So that should be very interesting. The Mayans were very gifted astrologers. They definitely could see into the future, and they saw this as a time of a new beginning, not as the Armageddon, as a lot of people would believe it to be. Mayan, the calendar, excuse me a second, my throat's really dry.
David's throat is really dry and he's drinking some water. So can I fill in while he quenches his thirst?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. He was talking about the 2012 dateline. You have to understand, well, I know you all do, but people need to understand that the very dark forces that have been working so diligently to keep the human race as a whole held down and in ignorance will do anything at all to keep their minds filled with fear. What better way than use something as innocent but as powerful as the Mayan calendar to keep people focused on fear issues? And they're not going to make progress in any spiritual sense or evolve because they're too afraid. They're afraid to try anything that might be against what their practical world advisors say. And the Mayans, you know, it's odd. There are many Mayans alive still today. Nobody asks the Mayan what it means. It's simply, as David was saying, a new beginning of a new time. It's the end of an age. Please remember that term, age. Those three little seemingly innocent letters, they are a constraint. They have a limitation on it. What we're going to be entering into is the new time of God. It's the time is now. Everybody wake up and get on the freight train of change. Because this wonderful, wonderful new world is going to be birthed. But if people want to believe, as so many do, especially some certain religious sects do, that the end of this year, everybody is going to die and there's going to be the rapture, well, they're going to be in for a very severe shock. That is not what this is about.
Absolutely. And everybody should get used to living in the now and instead of living in the age. About 4 months ago, I was working on a project here at home, and I just kept thinking to myself, I need more time. And, of course, family upstairs with their sense of humor said, why would you want something more of something that doesn't exist? I mean, think about it. Everything happens right here, right now. And most people can't quite figure that out.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, I know that when we went inside the Tetons for 45 minutes, they explained to us that when we came back that we'd actually been gone 2 weeks. And that it took me a while to grab a hold of that one. So, yes.
Absolutely. Well, as far as my chronological age in Earth years and being an Arcturian, I am very young. But most people would consider 157,000 years old to be very old, when it's actually very young.
Yeah, it is pretty young. Yeah, I understand that. My next question for you, David, is who are the Masters and why have they come to Earth at this time?
Oh, We have been for the last 4 years calling in all the masters. We are constantly doing private projects to help the planet, to help the people. We do a lot of energy work trying to give people just a few moments of breather time so that they can collect their thoughts and so that they can get off, pick up on their what they should actually be doing. And the masters we have been calling in, they are from everywhere. They all have specialties. And the masters for every continent, for every, I'll call them tribe here on the planet, there is a master that is designated to that culture. And as of this time, the creator and the God of this universe has called all of them in. They are all here now. They are all watching over their individual cultures, their civilizations. They are here to help people break free of their cycles. They are very open to they request many day times for people to ask them to come in and help them. They can be in multiple places at once, so don't feel like you're taking up their time. The masters left started receiving their messages, which are now being posted on the website, because they have a lot of information to share with people. Recently, they just did a big message on what is actually going on with the destabilization of the magnetics here on the planet. I forgot the other part of the question.
To do with the technologies that are being turned loose, like HARP and some of the chemtrail spraying and some of the cell phone towers and all the different technologies that are working as a cluster.
Oh, yes, yes. They're working with the people on the planet to find ways to alleviate a lot of that. The masters, along with the star keepers, are helping to also alleviate that from their point to a degree that is acceptable. They are obviously eliminating a lot of the harmful effects of the chemtrails, but they can't stop everything. They are helping the teachers to better teach the teachers, the future teachers to come. I'm not sure what else I should say.
I got it. How are the physical bodies reacting to these magnetic changes?
Everybody is being affected, from human beings to animals, the fish in the ocean. Everybody is being changed. You know about the light bodies. As the bodies change, the cellular structures of your bodies are changing. And what that means is each cell is amassing more and more light particles within the cells of the body. And as that happens, everything that is magnetic, everything that is electronic is going to affect you. Celeste and I are both very sensitive. We can tell when there are energy waves coming through. When we travel from area to area, and you can sense the people in the area, where they are in their personal soul progression, and at times it can be very harsh on the physical being. Magnetics is an extremely important part of it. Most people believe that the body is made up mainly of water, and it's not. It's electricity. And if people were to retrain their thoughts in that manner and deal with everything that they're dealing with on that level, they would find that their existence is much easier. Water is a natural conductive force for electricity. People need to be drinking more water. Sea salt, They need that balance there. It helps to balance out the electrolytes inside the body. People need to be taking more electrolytes. All of these things will help their bodies with their changes.
I know that we seem to require a lot more silica now, too, along with that.
Yes, yes, absolutely. In fact, we read that on your website this morning. We were both chuckling to each other because that's what we keep telling people. That they definitely...
Yeah. Silica is quartz crystal. You know, ding, ding, there it goes. Okay, who are the walk-ins and what role are they here to play during the earth changes?
Is that for me or David?
That's for you, Celeste.
Oh, okay. Who are the walk-ins? Briefly stated, walk-ins are from every universe. They're sent here by a sacred decree as part of a pre-birth agreement. It's a soul contract. Everybody signs a soul contract before they are either born in or walk in. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with a person's culture, the color of their skin. It has nothing to do with that. It is an agreement. And part of the agreement is that, for instance, if, let's just say, a woman has reached a certain point in her life where she has been either physically beaten down, mentally or emotionally beaten down, or even perhaps have had a very long series of critical health problems, and she knows she simply cannot go on one more day. That soul agreement that was made with the walk-in simply states that when a person reaches a certain point or they just do not want to endure any more of the hostilities that are on the planet, the exchange takes place. One soul leaves, the other soul comes in. The walk-in soul enters, the physical body soul goes to a certain place where they do receive a great deal of healing. They will remain there until such time they have chosen or agreed to return to their body. So if somebody, like in David's case, he came in as such a young child, 6 years old, and yet that physical child has never made any indication to him that he wants to return. So in David's case, I'd say after all these years, it's pretty good that it will remain as permanent. Walk-ins have a mission. You'll find, if you don't already know this, that many walk-ins come in to take the place of humans who would have been killed on the battlefront. They come in to try to enter into the political arena, the scientific arena, medical field, as much as they come, as they can. The irony here is, under the universal law of non-interference, none of us can force ourselves, but of course, a true walk-in would not do that anyway. But to force ourselves upon anyone without that agreement and any addendums that may have been added to it, the walk-in process cannot take place. The reason why most walk-ins, I mean, the number is so few who aren't, but most walk-ins are not prominent in the financial field. They're not prominent in the different phases of entertainment. Now, I said most walk-ins, or the banking industry. Now, boy, we could do a lot of good help there, but how many men and women can you imagine that would be willing to give up their societal status, the lifestyles of the rich and famous that they have become so attached to, in order to let a walk-in come in and take their place while they go off and do not come back to Earth, maybe for many, many years, maybe not at all in that present lifetime. You're asking people to give up a lot of what they have become addicted to, and that just seldom happens. We choose ordinary men and ordinary women as a rule, simply because they are closer to Tara in the spiritual venue than the people who have too much and don't know really what to do with what they have. So there are very serious reasons for this. Now, walk-ins are here in dramatic numbers. We're forever running into walk-ins. Some of them haven't awakened yet to know that they are walk-ins, though. And no, we would never think of going up to any of them and say, oh, hello there, you're a walk-in. That would be interference. And we cannot do things like that. But it's vitally important that all races from all universes work together now. We are here for the long haul. And it's not easy. And soul substitution is as ancient as the Creator. This is not something new. This is an ongoing process of evolution for both the walk-in as well as the man or woman that's a male or female that the walk-in is replacing. So no, this is an ongoing process, as I'm sure you know.
Yes, I've been dealing with walk-ins for about 30 years, and I've had a lot of different experiences with them. The temporary ones, the permanent ones, the walk-ins, and I have dealt with politicians and celebrities that have taken on the role of doing walk-in duty, and I was sent to help them on special missions. So there are some here. There's not as many as there are ordinary humans that have agreed to be in the Starseed band, but there are some here. I have worked with them.
Yes, I agree with you. There are some here. It would have been nice if it would have been more, but it could help to balance the scales a little bit,
right,
and help more true humanitarianism take place all over the world, because there are so many, there are a lot of starving people, a lot of starving children on this planet, and they desperately need whatever help anybody can give them.
Right. I want to switch the conversation now a little bit to the media. Why isn't the media accurately reporting what is actually happening in the economic environment?
This is something we've had to deal with for years, even working with journalists ourselves. The media is all controlled. There are honest journalists who have, in one way, it's great thanks to the internet, but it has happened before that too, make and they come up with alternative news, which you can actually read and find the truth about what is going on. But for years and years, we have found so many major discrepancies in the media. The stories they are not permitted to talk about, they don't, it is that the governments do not want everyday people on this planet to know the truth about anything, because there's too much money at stake. There's money to be made in the pharmaceuticals. There's money to be made in the banking system and all of those situations.
And war.
So the media and war. War is the biggest money bringer of all time. And countries are in collusion. This has gone on for centuries, really. They are in collusion with one another. They sit down and actually strategize. Let's plan a war on paper. Let's do this on paper. And then we'll have it situated so we'll tell the media what we want them to tell the public, and we'll pretend that so-and-so country is getting ready to attack us, and that this country has started to attack another, and then we stir the cauldron by making some things happen, by choosing the weakest, most damaged psyches, of the men and some women and place them in leadership roles to assure that this will happen through military intervention, that they will keep this going. And it's like writing a big IOU. Each country owns this other country that owes this country. And it's a terrible. The term war games is sadly misunderstood on this planet. And the media, now I have worked with some wonderful people. Obviously, I'm not going to say who they are, who are just aghast at the type of news they have to print, knowing full well it is not true. Just like the military staff, that's been a key concern for journalists. They know perfectly well that the deaths attributed to this war or that war are completely inaccurate. Those staff are so much higher than the average person is aware of. The media has to do what the media is told to do if they want to remain in the media. And the end result is the people are duped more and more. They can't understand what is real and what isn't, because they're not hearing from the source that they would expect to trust. And that's a major problem that we're all being confronted about. And my best suggestion there is you seek out true journalists, whether they're alternative news or not. Obviously, use discernment. Do they have a hidden agenda? And it's easy enough to look into a person's mind from long distance even and see if they really are what they say they are, or are they something that they don't want you to know.
Right.
And you listen, you follow the news, and then plan your life accordingly. Stop accepting at face value what you're being told by the media.
Good advice. Good advice. Well, I see that we've gone an hour, so I would like to turn the program over to Arielle and Sierra at this time so that they can go to the switchboard and callers call in, and we'll have questions for you. I will talk to you again at the end. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we do have a lot of callers on the switchboard, and I just want to remind everyone that if you have a question or comment for Celeste and David, that you need to press 1 on your keypad so that we know you want to come on the air. And we will take them in order. Well, okay, we have a few people who are now almost ready. We've got them in the screening room as we try to find out who we're going to talk to before we pick up. And we have coming soon. We're going to talk to Ralph here in just a minute as soon as he is done talking with Sahar. But I just want to say to both of you that I so appreciate the work that you're doing and that you continue to do and your dedication. And I just think that it is so wonderful, David, when you said that you could be together every minute and it's still not enough. That is just so, so wonderful. I love that. Right. And I think that is something that's really a focal point at this point is the balance of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. I'm seeing this in charts a lot when, and as a matter of fact, even just today, I did 2 charts in a row from 2 completely different people. They were born 20, 25 years apart, and they had the same markings and almost the same mission. And it was about the balancing of divine feminine and divine masculine. So I just want to say that is just wonderful to see it in action and see the power that's there. So we're going to go to Ralph here, and he has a question for David. So Ralph, you're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, great! Thank you very much. This is phenomenal. So, David and Celeste, is Celeste and David both on? Or
Yes, we're both on.
Okay. I was wondering in your book, you mentioned God, and I was just wondering, as you get the transmissions, how did you know that the entity was, by God, do you mean the creator, the prime creator, the prime source, God?
No, actually, there is the God of this universe. There is the prime creator, and then there is God or goddesses that look over each and every universe. And the books that we are receiving are from the God of this universe, and a lot of the information that's come out in the last two books is basically information, as Celeste said earlier, that's never been known of before here on this planet. And some of it was just, as Lavender is well aware, it was time sensitive. It wasn't allowed to be told before then. But we do know how to check our sources, and our communication is not what people consider to be channeling. We do all our communications on a soul-to-soul level. There is no interruptions. There is no misunderstandings or errors in transmission. Obviously, the Earth language is a little hard to deal with as far as being a universal being as God is and trying to explain how to say this. And a lot of times he will choose his words very carefully. A lot of it comes in the form of telepathy. We will get a lot of it through images. Sacred geometry, that's how we receive our information. But God definitely knows how, has a way of making his presence known if you're open to it.
Hmm. And does everyone have the, does everyone have this capability to actually receive direct transmissions, or just those who have particular missions here?
Okay, Ralph, this is the last. Everybody has it. We don't consider ourselves to be special because we're in communication with God. Everybody can be in communication with God. The biggest problem that we've seen and that we know about with people and why they feel blocked from being in communication with God, number one, you have to learn to quiet your mind. Now, for us, it's easy for us to quiet our mind. We don't have mind noise. So it's easy. You quiet your mind, and you listen, and you just relax with it. God is always speaking to everybody. And he uses telepathy, and he uses the imaging and sacred geometry as well, as David was saying. But he has also been known, if all else fails, believe me, we've seen him do this. He will send a person, male or female, to whoever he's trying to get in touch with, give them the information because he cannot get through to the ones he's trying to, and have them relay the information to the person who isn't hearing, isn't listening. So, yeah, you can do it, Ralph. Everybody can. You just have to be relaxed with it. This is part of your birthright. This is something that you entered this world with the ability to do this. But the conditioning came into play as people grew up in tiny babies. There were always others saying, no, no, you can't have any imaginary friends. Well, they don't know. These are your spirit guides. These are children that are talking to God. They're talking to their angels. And it is a type of brainwashing, even though it's not intended to be, at least not by well-meaning individuals. But, yes, of course you can talk to God. Just don't be surprised when he talks back.
One last quickie, just real quick. I know this is not really religious-based, as you refer to God, and the name that you use for him is God. But the other issue with me, though, is you refer to him as a him, and I'm just curious, does that have any relevance to the gender, or just this is spoken just generically?
Every being is an androgynous being, which means they are both male and female. Sometimes the qualities of one side or the other will be more dominant. But God is an androgynous being. He speaks to us. I'll explain the he part here very quickly. He speaks to us for all these books, and to simplify things, he requested that we just use the word he rather than always putting in he, she. Okay? God's name is so long that nobody could possibly pronounce it. And since God is the name that is universally acceptable here on the planet, that is the easiest way to explain this divine being. But he is androgynous.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I really can't wait to really get into your books, especially the last one. Is it recommended, by the way, that you read any particular order of the books, or can we just kind of go through the last one and start there?
Well, that's a good question. The last one is, again, please remember, it is all about you as soul. Where you've been, where you've come from, why you're here, what happens to you in nirvana, which people call heaven, what happens to you after mortality, and then again, what you re-enter into this planet or on another world with. So if that might seem like it's throwing too much at you, I personally would say start with the first four.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. This has been a fascinating program. You guys are very great for coming on and giving us this phenomenal information. I really appreciate it and look forward to seeing or hearing from you again.
Thank you,
Ralph. Very well said, and we thank you for calling in. So I'll talk to you next time, okay? Thanks, Ralph.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I just want to say that I think the storms that Sierra were talking about have probably hit because she got cut off and I haven't seen her come back in yet. But we do have Anastasia with us, our dear sister and partner, Anastasia. And sweetie, if you have any questions or comments, hello. I was just going to say you're welcome to. To chime in, and if you have any questions or comments or things like to add.
I do have a couple of things. I want to thank our guests. They're so beautifully spoken, and I've looked at their websites, and they're just beautiful. So you did a beautiful job on your websites, and I personally want to thank you for coming on to tonight's show. It's just been really fascinating and wonderful. And, Arielle, I have to agree with you. I was just nodding my head here, what you said about the balancing of the divine masculine and the divine feminine together. This really is a wonderful component of the change that we're coming into, to balance these two energies together, working together, doing the soul work and manifesting divine life is really a wonderful emanation of totality that heals and helps, and I want to thank them for finding each other and that it's working out like this. And I had to tell both of you, Celeste and David both, that when I saw your photographs on your website, my heart just opened up. Now, Celeste, I could just give you a hug. I feel like I've known you for for a long, long time, so I recognized you. So anyway, there's lots of other things to talk about, questions, but I'd like to just go ahead with the calls. But thanks, Arielle, for letting me thank them and chip in a little bit here.
Well, that's great, Anastasia, and I'm going to leave your mic open so you control your own mute button, and if you have something else that you want to interject, you're welcome.
Thank you. You're welcome. So we are going on now to talk to Jeremy. Let me get your mic open, sweetie. So, okay, Jeremy, you're on the air.
Hi. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much as well for coming on. I, among other wonderful cosmic beings, have been interested in the Ascended Masters, and I'm curious as to how you guys have interacted with them, your information on their connections to particular cultures, and anything else that has to do with sort of tapping in to their work and having a mutually beneficial relationship to these masters.
Okay. We'll let David start that, and then I'll jump in.
During the nighttime, as we said, we're busy all day long, and then at nighttime we take off and go to the ships. We will go to different parts of the planet. We'll work with the different masters, the different star keepers on the planet. But during the nighttime, we have, oh gosh, to date, I'm going to take a rough guess and say that we have met somewhere between 40 and 50 of the different masters. They will show themselves to us in a form that is comfortable to them, that they feel is going to be comfortable to us, and they will take us to different parts of the planet to say different sections all over Europe where there's such a varied culture over there, and they will show us what they've been doing to try to assist the people, what needs to be done, and part of this communique is helping them to show us exactly what we need to be telling people through the websites about what is going on. And
also, the masters, they are phenomenal. They have their own descendants from other worlds who are here on the planet. So, for instance, someone from Andromeda who is living on the Earth Star planet and is, let's just say, Italian while physically alive, in the physical life. They are still then an Andromeda Italian. Boy, is that a mouthful. But they are. They really, really are. So the master from that particular home planet who has his descendants there, because they are descendants, they are from the same world. It's like being from your hometown and then going to visit others who have been in your hometown. And they literally are seeking out all of the ones from their home world. So from the Pleiades, the Arcturians, every race you can think of, and there are many races that most people don't know about, but that would be too much to get into today.
Sure.
But they're here to interact, to help, to offer guidance, support, to give on a soul-to-soul basis everything that each male and female on this planet needs. They will set off little bells. They honestly, they sound like little jingling bells when they want to get certain people's attention. They will arrange a set of circumstances to take place that is part of the pre-birth agreement, where something has to happen at a particular time on a particular date. Maybe it is the 22nd or the 23rd of a special month, where they come, this man or woman will come to face to face with themselves. There's a time of contemplation that sets in. It's also known on this planet as the alone time.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
You can identify with that very well.
Yeah.
And that was when some of the greatest miracles take place. The masters are just extraordinary. Some of them are very stern, and yet others are much less stern, but I certainly wouldn't suggest anybody try to cross swords with them either.
Mm-hmm.
But they're here for the good of the planet, for the good of every person on this planet. They're also working with all the animals now. Everything, every life form, the blades of grass, everything you can think of is all under the master's control. The masters are also working with all the luminescence. And you may not know this yet, but gods and goddesses in any universe are called the luminescent of that universe. So when we say the luminescence, plural, just as the god of this universe is a luminescent, they have their own collective, and they work right with the masters. We've watched them. We've watched the luminescence and the masters and the star keepers, especially the more evolved ones from all different worlds who have their ships close by, who are walking on this planet. Some are here just to work with the masters and the luminescence. But it's not to save this world. This world is going to be saved. That's already been decided. But it will be saved with or without the human race. Mm-hmm. So what everybody does now is defining themselves as true human beings and giving them the privilege to live on Earth. Living on Earth is not a right. It is a privilege. But I'm so glad you asked about the masters because, oh, the work they do is just phenomenal. It's just beyond words.
Yeah, thank you. And I could really feel a bit of an intuitive connection. I have to say, Celeste, you sound like one of my aunts or one of my own family. I'm from Pittsburgh, so you have that very deep and abiding strength of womanhood that I grew up with. So I want to thank you personally. It's like Anastasia was saying, I feel like I know you from somewhere. And David, I will also come out as an Arcturian starseed. So I am loving reading and intuiting my home space among a couple of other stars. But thank you all so much. And I feel like very much from what you said, I can start to intuit very much those who I've known and those who I feel I can contact and be a part of their work. So thank you also very much with much love.
Thank you, Jeremy.
We appreciate your call. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. We have another couple callers with questions, but I was thinking, Anastasia, the thing that we were talking about earlier today with alignments, I think it might be great because I think Celeste and David might have some input on what that might look like.
Sure. You mean about the asteroid?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have an asteroid coming our way. In fact, it's today, actually, this very day. And it was reported, everybody, on spaceweather.com. So if you go onto that website, it's a site that mostly covers solar news, but also asteroids in space. It gives a chart of near-Earth asteroids and also a connection, incidentally, to covering the much-anticipated Venus transit, which is going to happen on June 5th, where Venus is going to cross in the face before the face of the sun. And that is going to be covered live on a number of websites, and all of those links are on spaceweather.com. That's a once-in-a-lifetime event. I think it occurs every 122 years. But anyway, sorry, I got off the subject a little bit, but today's event is a small asteroid that is about the size of a bus, I guess. It's up to 10 meters wide, a half of a lunar distance, which is passing now within our geosynchronous orbit. Isn't that something? So it's very, very close. And incidentally, if you follow those sorts of things, as I have been doing for our High Strangeness segment, there have been a tremendous number of incoming asteroids and comets and space debris that are entering the Earth's atmosphere. So, you know, we've been experiencing booms and flashes of light and all kinds of incidents in the sky that doesn't have any standard explanation. But anyway, today, right now as we speak, that little rock is coming very, very close to the Earth. A half a lunar distance is very near. That's really, really close.
Yeah, I would say. So I'm just wondering, Celeste and David, do the masters have anything to say about this? Is it a signal of timing? Is it anything that you have any information about?
Well, what I'm seeing, and I'm listening to right now to Master Kato, Master Kato saying this was not unexpected. It is something that had to come close, but without impacting on the Earth star planet with any deleterious effect yet. There are magnetics involved, which may add some density in certain parts of the planet as the asteroid passes. There is nothing to be concerned about in the way of fear, but there will be at least 20 more asteroids between now and 2025 that will come close. But still, there will not be a direct hit. Anything that comes too close, that the magnetics are being alleviated to a certain degree, as long as they are not too harmful. However, with every asteroid that comes close, there is a high probability that it can happen that the weather may change to a little more harsher, more severe increments of weather for a short period of time. And he said, do not be concerned. This was already foreseen. And he made a slight comment about if they put more on that spaceweather.com website you were talking about, if they let you know even more as much about all these other things as they really do, then I could give them high kudos. Right now, I can only say, and it's like shaking your hand left and right. Either way, 50-50.
Okay, when you're saying that he's saying either way 50-50, is that they're not quite telling everything?
They're not quite telling everything, yes. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to describe that over the phone. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I got the visual. I got the visual, I think that's what he was intending to say, is that as far as really doing an excellent job, they're kind of like so-so, I guess, because they're not
so-so.
Telling everything.
They just discovered this yesterday. Only yesterday was it discovered.
Oh, well.
But interestingly enough, she mentions the magnetics, and certainly there is a connection with that, along with the solar flares and the things that are going on in our solar system as we're moving into the center of the galaxy. We're coming up against a huge energy band that they have discovered. And there's a lot of magnetic activity occurring on the planet, in our solar system, and in our galaxy. So that's all very correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think the point was that what was being observed about that particular website is what they're saying is true, but there's more of it that's not being said. So,
right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm
so that's
sure
good.
That's
it's
accurate.
Good, mm-hmm. It's a good resource. It's a good resource to get at least some of the pieces of the puzzle. And that was great. That was great, and thank you to Master Kato for helping with that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, and you know, when Anastasia and I were both talking about the perfect balance of divine masculine and divine feminine that we are seeing in action in the two of you, when
at the beginning of the show, when you both said hello, I couldn't tell you apart. You know, and I've got my ears tuned up now so that I can tell, but there is a slight tonal difference, but energetically, you're almost like speaking as one being, and I'm listening while you're finishing David's sentences and vice versa. And that's really, like you said, be the change you want to see, and, you know, to have that divine feminine and masculine balanced in each of you so well that it really helps others to see how it's done. So thank you for that.
Yes. Could I ask a question just briefly?
Sure.
Do we have time for a really quick question?
Oh, yes.
I think it's really key what they've stated about being in the now and what their guidance is about being in the now, and that really is the portal, the point of transcendence. And I'd like to ask them to give our listeners an idea for practical application as we are, you know, straddling 3D reality as well as our divine identities, opening to that. What is your advice to our listeners about how they can be in the now, quieting the mind and so forth? What do we have to know about that, please?
Well, I would say, and I'm sure David will answer as well, but first thing people have to do, yes, they have to learn to retrain their minds if they're not used to having a quiet mind. Some people prefer meditation as a means. I know there are people who prefer yoga as a means to quiet their mind, but they'll be able to tell how well they're doing with a simple little test that they can give themselves. Now, as simple as this is, it's going to be the hardest thing they've ever had to do as a preface to being able to do that. So the first thing they have to do is just quiet their mind, take a deep breath, exhale it, and focus on one simple image for 1 minute.
I know exactly what you're saying, because it's really hard for your mind not to drift even if you're just trying to hold that one image. Yes, you're right. That is simple and really hard.
So you're just telling us that it's about discipline and devotion.
It is.
Yes.
And
developing
and
a practice and sticking to it, right?
Right. It's another form of personal responsibility.
Yes. Okay.
I would like to add in the fact, Celeste was earlier mentioning mind noise. Some people call it mind chatter, where the mind just keeps going and going and going and going. I would like to make a statement. I don't want to answer, but tell you what it means. I want the listeners to figure it out for themselves. And that is that by doing nothing, you are doing everything.
Yep, absolutely.
Wow.
And that is a whole new way of thinking. Now, you know, we all ought to contemplate that, because that is an absolute reversal of everything we've been taught. And in today's world, where distraction is key, and every force and mechanism is used that is possible to keep us away from our center, because that keeps us asleep, that is the one thing that we all need to think about. Now, why don't you say that one more time?
Okay.
Doing nothing is doing everything. Better
by doing nothing, you are doing everything.
That's wonderful. I love that. Thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to get out of here now, Ariel. Thank you so much. That was excellent. I think that's a real treasure for everyone to think about. Thank you.
Yes, it is.
So I have to ask you, David. So if by doing nothing you're doing everything, then if you're doing anything, are you doing nothing?
If you're doing anything, you're doing something.
Well, right, it was kind of a play on words. So in other words, if you think you're doing something, you're really not doing anything. But if you're doing nothing, then you're doing everything.
You can have things happen by not having to do them. Everything is born in your soul and in your mind, in a healthy person, one who has a healthy psyche, The soul and the mind are in perfect alignment. So what you think, you create. You don't have to take great, big, gigantic steps to make something happen, but you can think it into creation.
Oh, amen.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I am all over that. And yes, you can create with a thought in a matter of seconds what it would take you months to do. And using that great creative force that we all have, that spark of the creator inside of us, we can create our universe, if not, like he did, but we can create our own and make it as wonderful as we desire. So we have a couple more callers with questions, so let's move on now. We have Sandra, and I'm going to open up your mic here in just a second here, Sandra. Wait, give me a minute. Okay, Sandra, you're on the air with David and Celeste.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I have a question. How can you tell whether you have a walk-in or not? Is there any way that you can tell?
You mean if you yourself are walk-in? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Well, there are many anomalies that all walk-ins experience. One is, even if you're with someone you dearly love, in this case, who happens to be a walk-in as well, but there is a feeling of such a strangeness, or high strangeness, in fact, that you're not readily accepted by ordinary people. I'm not speaking of starseeds, but not accepted by ordinary people, all right? You'll find that the physical vehicle, your body, seems like sometimes you want to feel like it's too much constraint. You shouldn't have any kind of physical body to hold you down. You should be able to just lift off wherever you want to. There is an aloneness that never quite goes away. Never quite goes away. Now, I'm speaking about walk-ins who have not awakened, who do not know who they are. Walk-ins who have awakened, they're already aware of all these things. The body changes are extreme. Appetites change when a walk-in discovers who he is, or who she is in this case. There's a need for extremely spicy type of food seems to be a commonality from, I'd say, for about 90% of walk-ins. It's the walk-ins who don't know who they are. Those are the ones that have the greatest problem, because sometimes they think there's something wrong with them because they're not like other people. Well, no, they're not like other people, but that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. It's your sense of feeling, how you react to looking up at the stars. Can you hear the stars speak to you? Can you feel a connection that defies any logical explanation? Walk-ins are generally in contact with either consciously or superconsciously, and most of the evolved ones, it's both, but they are in contact with all off-world beings, their mentors, their spirit guides, and God himself will address a walk-in. I've seen that happen with many people and just say, yes, you are correct. You are a walk-in. Now get over it and get on with your life.
Hmm.
Yeah. So there are many sides.
It was years ago at one time, I was asleep, and there was a big, bright, bright light just came, and it was huge. And it came in the side of me and lifted me off the bed, and I woke up burning and hurting. I didn't, until the day I cannot say what they was. No one could tell me what it was.
I have seen that happen to people. I have known people who have gone through that.
And God has come to me personally in just the manner you just described. So I can relate to that.
Okay. No one could ever explain that to me. I asked people, and they were like, what are you talking about? Like, it wasn't a dream.
No. It wasn't a dream. You're not crazy. You're not hanging off the lunatic fringe. It's nothing like that. All right? Rest assured about that. That is nothing to do with it. Yes, that light is known to come a lot. And it's coming more, I've noticed, with people, David, the last 4 to 6 years in particular, light seems to be coming in a lot. But it's not a destructive light. It's almost like somebody can turn up a spotlight on in your face to shake you awake a little bit, but not to hurt you.
Okay. All right.
So can I interject here, Celeste and David? Are you thinking that this is more of an activational contact kind of thing rather than the arrival of a walk-in?
Yes, absolutely.
The walk-in already being there, but the activation process still needs to take place.
Okay, so,
Some activations could be very subtle. Some could hit you like a jolt of energy, have an electrical blast to you. People are awoken just by mere presence.
It comes in different forms.
It does. Ever since I was very young, well, up until before I actually awoke to who I was, every time I would say my goodnight at night before I'd go to sleep, I always saw a light. And I explained that to a person who was, I guess I would call him religiously devout, and he looked at me in shock and amazement because obviously I never went to church or anything. But he said, people wait their whole lives to see that. You see that every night? He was looking at me like he just couldn't understand it. But it's true. The connection's always there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, Sandra, I would just tell you to stand in your own truth and stand in your own light, and know that if this process has started, that you do have a team that is assigned to you so that you don't have to figure it out by yourself. And this is part of a natural thing if it is a walk-in that is yet to be activated. And it's I think I've heard similar stories of the light coming to people when it wasn't necessarily the arrival of a walk-in, but rather with another purpose. So do you think that could also be the case, David and Celeste?
It could be, but it feels to me, from what I'm watching, that was intentionally for her and about her, and rather than for another person. That does not mean she will not attract others who are like her, though. That happens very easily.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I'd like to add that most walk-in exchanges happen at points of near-death experiences. So I don't feel that was a walk-in exchange that she was going into.
No, she wasn't going into it, but it's coming.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I guess due to electromagnetic radiation disturbances, that call has been dropped. And I'm sorry, Sandra, I know you're probably still listening, but I think that your question's been answered. And we do thank you for calling, and I imagine she may call back in. But we do have
a lot of calls on the switchboard right now. David and Celeste, I just want to tell you that I think you're helping a lot of people here tonight and all the people that will be listening in the archives. We only have 15 minutes left, and we have maybe more callers than we're going to have time to get to, but let's just go and tell everybody ahead of time, please keep your questions brief and your comments brief so that maybe we can get two more people. So we are going next to our dear friend Joseph. You're on the air, sweetie.
Thank you very much, Arielle, and I really will keep this brief. I just found out today that David and Celeste are going to be here in my hometown in August participating in a conference. So we'll have most of our conversation while they're here, and then that will be great fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm really looking forward. And I will tell you that when Lavendar did my chart and I told her where I lived, and she said, that's where the ship that she is part of hangs out, right over this town. So I think you're going to be really comfortable when you get here. The other thing I just discovered, I want to say when Celeste began speaking, I thought, that is such a different experience than I had when I had my walk-in. And I began to question myself. I knew she was absolutely in her truth, and I thought, did I make this up? And then David came on, and I went, nope, I'm with him. I had my walk-in when I was 12 years old, and there was a lot that led up to it. When I was 7 years old, my mother and I were in Chicago, and we were watching a newsreel, and they showed the first atomic explosions in White Sands, New Mexico. And I froze because I knew what it was and I knew how dangerous it was. And my mother reached over and patted my leg and she said, that's okay, honey, that's going to let Daddy come home. And my response was, then Daddy doesn't have to come home.
Wow.
Uh-huh. I knew what I had seen. I had recognized it from being in other dimensions. This is very exciting, just being over the phone with you guys. I can't wait to be in your presence. I think I'm just going to let this be it for now, and I will see you in August. It's beyond expectations. It's just wonderful joy and hope at seeing you, and because I very seldom get to be with other walk-ins, and this is going to be just a big party, I can tell already.
Looking forward to it, Joseph. We'll see you there.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And you're with some of the most beautiful people on the planet, but I'm sure you know that, these women that run this show. They're just my dearest friends. So
yes.
Here we go.
Yes.
Okay.
Much love to you all.
Yep. Thank you so much, Joseph. And I can see you crossing the days off one by one until August.
Oh, you betcha, sweetheart.
Okay. Thank you so much, sweetie. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Well, that's great. You're going to be in Joseph's town, so you'll get a chance to meet, and that'll be wonderful. So we have another caller now. We are going to be talking to Lori. Hello, Lori.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Air.
Yes, we can.
Oh, wonderful. This is a great show. I came in a little late, so I hope I'm not asking something that maybe somebody else asked. But when I hear Celeste and David talk about God, I'm like, I'm wondering, where is the love? I mean, when I think of God, I think of a very loving being, and I'm not quite sure I'm getting that message. And I wanted them to elaborate on that a little bit.
Oh, God is unconditional love. He is the most brilliant love you can imagine. He can be stern at times when he feels he needs to. He has the most joyous, most hilarious sense of humor. He knows how important humor is, and he uses it every chance he gets. He's amazing. God truly is, and I don't mean this as a play on words. God truly is all that is.
Mm.
Wonderful.
No, you may have misunderstood something. No, no, no. God is love. He is not some flaming sword ready to smote people. That is a lot of rubbish. And he is not, he does not have anyone's interest at heart unless they're the best interest in the world. He is saddened by some of the things he sees, but he has to deal with them because he's God. And he's struggling to try to get everybody to achieve their own individual momentum by being all they can be. You see, you and every person on this planet, I don't care what all the managed trouble they get themselves in, are a physical manifestation of God. What you do with it is another story.
Mm. Wonderful. Well, that definitely makes me feel a lot better, because at first I was like, I can't remember what you said exactly, but it was like, you know, wake up and get over it. And I'm like, okay. I'm not sure that's the God
I know.
Oh, no,
you were that was about something else.
Right, yeah, that was about the walk-in transition. yeah. And I know what you mean, Lori, and Celeste as well, because God loves us, or the God of this universe loves us so much that he gave us free will. And then when we turn around and make really bad mistakes, that's got to be painful, just like a parent who lets a child make their own decision and they choose the wrong thing, but you love them enough to let them fall down so they can learn, you know. And I mean, but in the great scheme, wouldn't you agree, Celeste, that we will be protected from ourselves in the very, you know, if in the very worst scenario, we will be protected. But from the little stuff, it's okay to skin your knee if it teaches you something.
Yes. Just remember one thing. When it comes to God and how people go, they run amok sometimes and repetitively commit the same horrible acts against other people. They're also doing it against themselves, and they don't even realize it. Yes, God will help. We all have the tools to help ourselves. Humans, everybody, will be all right as long as they know how to survive their own actions. But don't forget, God will not put a Band-Aid on a gaping wound.
Right.
Well, we also probably need to think about God as an emanation of love, and that love is the creative force that brings all things into being. So we can't have a creation without having love. It is the one thing that endures and is everlasting.
Well said, Anastasia.
That's very true. Very, mm-hmm. very true.
Wonderful.
Okay,
thank
well, Lori,
so
I hope
much.
That answers
Appreciate
your
it.
Question.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Celeste and David.
You're welcome.
All right, I'll get off and let someone else get on. Thanks a lot, Ariel
okay,
and Anastasia.
Lori.
Bye.
Thank you, sweetie.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we just have a few minutes left, and we're going to take just one more call. And before I pick up on the line, I do want to thank you, David and Celeste, and Lavendar and Anastasia, Sahar, Rose, and Sierra. I know that you somehow your phone must not be working because you didn't get back on. But I want to thank you all so much for coming together this evening and sharing the way you have shared. And I know that it's going to be helping a lot of people. I want to encourage everyone to visit their website, which is awakenedhearts.com and bluestarspeaks.com. And the books are the God Series, The Journey, Beyond the Journey. And please do visit their website. And we're going to take another question and then be signing off. So Right now we are going to talk, and I'm going to tell you, sweetie, before I pick up your microphone, that we've only got 3 minutes. So, Belva, you're on the air.
Hi, darling. How are you?
I'm good. What a wonderful show.
I just called to tell you it was great.
Well, thank you so much, and it's good to hear your voice. You sound good.
And my big lesson in this life is, has been, I'm not a victim. I have no problems. Everything is just a lesson. It makes me grow, and it brings me new understanding. So I'm with them. Everything they said, I'm with them.
Well, that's great. And just David and Celeste Belva is one of our team members. She is our expert on natural healing. So, Belva, it's great to have you come on here right at the very end and meet David and Celeste.
I'm glad. I'm so glad that I was able to be here this week.
That's good.
We're glad you're here, too. Yeah.
Okay, Belva, thank you so much. And we will be talking to you soon. I'm going to say goodbye now, and we'll be signing off. So, Belva, thank you so much.
And thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye, sweetie.
Bye.
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 Okay. Well, everyone, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening. We're here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we also have a support forum, as I said earlier, for Starseed. So you can help teach, learn, or whatever level you're at. You can find others just like you right there on the forum. So please take advantage of that. David and Celeste, thank you so much for being on the planet. Thank you for the work that you've done. And I really encourage everyone to visit your websites and find out more about the wonderful work that you're doing on the planet for the people.
Thank you for having us on.
And thank you for having us. And one last thought for all of you. Just enjoy life and be all that you can be and always stand in truth.
Well said, and that is a really good point to say. Good night, all. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good Bye-bye. Night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.